हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Just on the, you know, because we've been talking a bit about the, that being Kali Yuga, then there's so much difficulty, so we have to change the preaching, we have to change all those things somehow or another. It's only now it's Kali Yuga, it hasn't been Kali Yuga for the last 5,000 years. Lord Chaitanya's mission, it wasn't Kali Yuga, Prabhupada's time, it wasn't Kali Yuga, whatever, just now it's Kali. So then some quotes from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. The age of Kali cannot make trouble for a person who loudly chants the holy name of Lord Hari. In the Brihad Naradi Purana is said, the age of Kali cannot make trouble for a person who always chants Hare Krishna, Hare Keshava Govinda Vasudeva and Jagan Maya. Right? So the point is if you're chanting the holy name, then the Kali Yuga is not for you. Kali Yuga is for those who don't chant. So it's a matter of how you want to position yourself. You know, do you want to position yourself as it's Kali Yuga, then we can't do all these things, or it's Lord Chaitanya's golden age, and so therefore we can do whatever pleases Lord Chaitanya. So it's just a matter of who you want to side with. You know, as pointed out by the previous acharyas, do you want to be a servant of Kali, or known as a Kali Chela, or do you want to be a servant of Lord Chaitanya? So that's the whole point. If it's about difficulties, everything's difficult. Because if that's the thing, the difficulties are there, so we want to avoid them. So why doesn't everyone avoid household life and making money and doing all these things? You don't get much more difficult than that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of understanding that it's Lord Chaitanya's age, and since he's in control of the material world, the material world was created by him simply for the purpose of people becoming Krishna conscious. That's all. It doesn't have another purpose. And all the difficulties are there is because people aren't Krishna conscious. Why is there more difficulty in this age? Because people are less Krishna conscious. If you're more Krishna conscious, there's less difficulties. When you say golden age, it means golden age. Everything will go nicely. Right? But we're looking at it, no, it's by my effort, I make it all happen, I'm the doer, I'm the, you know, everything. But no, it's Lord Chaitanya's everything. So we don't have to worry. We just take care, we just surrender, try to do our best to serve Krishna, and he'll take care of the rest, since it's his material world. It's his Maya. It's his Kali Yuga. Right? The demigods want to take birth in this age because of the Sankirtan movement. But as far as the materialists go, the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, mentions that the demigods don't even come here to pass urine. So we have to understand this, yes, without Lord Chaitanya, it's a total disaster. But when you add Lord Chaitanya, then it's wonderful. So that's very important, yes.
So it seems that for neophytes, it's very difficult because, as you mentioned previously, changing always is a position of Madhyama and, of course, Uttama.
Yes.
But before that, that's the
Right. Yes. Means it'll be unsteady. But in that unsteadiness, it's not that it's Kali Yuga, it's that I'm not so advanced.
Yeah.
So anytime someone says, oh, it's Kali Yuga, you can't do all these things, it needs to be translated. The translation is, I'm not so convinced, I'm not so fixed, I'm not so dedicated, and I have so many material attachments, and I actually think the material world has something serious to offer. And this, what it has to offer, can actually be beneficial to the Sankirtan movement, because material world's fabulous. Hey, I've been here since time immemorial, and I'm still here, so hey. You know, so therefore, then all these things that my mental speculation comes up with, that's actually the serious thing. But all these other things, those are pie in the sky, because, you know, who can attain that, who can do that? So it actually comes down to a lack of faith, lack of commitment and all that. But neophyte doesn't mean that their lack of advancement has to take that perspective. Right? One can have that inspiration and that to get to this, to the Madhyama platform, to get to the Uttama platform. But if we simply apply the modern intellectual skeptical thing that nothing's good, nothing's this, nothing's that, but at same time maintain all our sense gratifications, okay, you know, material facilities are okay, because true how do you say, skepticism means you would give up the whole social thing and just go out to the forest. But we're not doing that, because we're skeptical that anything will work, but I'm still going to try to, you know, get the basics. You know, basics means basic sense gratification and freedom from misery. So, but the neophyte can have that faith that it will work, though I'm not on that platform yet. And so keeping that in mind, then they can keep progressing, and then it will naturally just come to that stage. Right? So that's where we say it's automatic. You have the faith, it's automatic. You don't have the faith, then less automatic.
Manual.
Huh? Manual. Yeah, then it's manual. Yeah. Like one of those trucks with 12 gears. Right? Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, I was thinking that some devotees may argue is that neophyte position, it's not that we don't try, but we are more influenced by Kali Yuga.
No, that's there, but we can't take a position that's all right. We take a position that's a fact, but we never say it's all right. So what we've been discussing the last few days is this concept that these lower positions of consciousness are actually bona fide, and that I'm well situated. In fact, I'm more honest than these guys that seemingly are more advanced. So actually, my neophyte position is the perfection. And specifically, my neophyte position. Others' neophyte position, of course, it's very obvious that it's really neophyte and stupid. But mine, now that's like perfection. You know, because I'm so fabulous, right? So that's what we're talking about, is when the mentality changes that being a neophyte is the standard, right? See, in the preaching mission, Madhyama is the standard. Then the Uttamas take that position. No, they have Uttama realization, but the perspective they take is Madhyama. And for the neophytes, even though they're neophyte and don't have that realization, they take that perspective anyway. That's the difference. We're taking it, no, I'm a neophyte, then the neophyte, I use a neophyte perspective. And in fact, that's better than these other perspectives. You know, because, you know, we're not the body when I want to be, and we are the body when... In other words, when it's good for me to say I'm not the body and I can mental speculate, do whatever I want, I do. And when people are trying to force me to do things I don't want, then I bring out, no, but we're from this background, we're from this conditioning, so I am the body. So, in other words, it's simply self-serving. It's not about pleasing Krishna, surrendering to Krishna. There is some, of course. Otherwise, why would they be devotees? Why would they be practicing? There is definitely some, and they're way better than any karma. But at the same time, as this kind of mentality can get you stuck for many, many lifetimes. Because the point is that it's mentality that makes the difference on progression or not, not what you're doing. And then we shouldn't at this point go, see, it doesn't matter what you do. But the point is we are trying our best to do what's recommended. We may be fall short of the standard, but we're trying for the standard, rather than saying, oh, we're neophyte, we can't do the standard, so therefore not doing the standard is the new standard, right? You know, it's like, you know, he got the new, how do you say? I'm not sure what's the latest one. Yeah, he's in fashion. You know, it's like, the last one I heard, orange is the new black. You know, like that. You know, so like that. So like that. And so, you know, attached neophyte is the new, you know, the new Madhyama. You know, it's like that. So it's not like that. No, it's eternal, so it's still...
Huh?
Oh, the new Madhyama is the attached, you know, neophyte. You know. Because we see that these positions that we're proud of our position, we're attached to our position, we see things according to that position, and we separate ourselves from Krishna's standards, then that's defined in the Bhagavatam, third canto with Kapila Muni's instructions, as devotional service in the mode of ignorance. So we can't take it that it's the standard and it's okay and it's Kali Yuga and it's fabulous. Because Kapila Muni makes the point is these kind of individuals, even though they're devotees, you respect them in that, but you should absolutely avoid their association. Means you bump into them, you're nice, but you will not spend time with them. So then, if you're a person you're not supposed to be spent time with, why would your philosophy be that universal philosophy that's going to hold everything together and make the preaching fabulous and make, you know, bring in the new age, you know? You know, what the hippies couldn't do, you know, bringing in the age of Aquarius, we could do, right? You know. Is that work a bit? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then those devotees who give this particular argument of Kali Yuga, so does it mean that they are taking support of Chada Dharma for others as well as for themselves?
So are they, those who take it, take shelter of this, it's Kali Yuga, are they taking shelter of Chala Dharma? It depends how they're using it. Means it's not that we don't recognize this Kali Yuga and it's going to be difficult, but it's not an excuse. It's not as Kali Yuga, so we can't do all these things. Because what the Acharyas have given us is what can be done. See, Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar. So the Yuga Avatar is not going to give something that's not applicable, seeing that he's actually in control of the Yuga. Right? In other words, the Lord's in control as far as the religious parts. The aspect means the God-conscious part. The non-God-conscious part, that's then what the particular devata that's in charge of the yuga is. Right? You know, the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara and Kali personified, you know, they do the mechanics of those who are not devotees. Right? And then Krishna in his forms in, you know, white, red, black, and yellow, these are the forms in which he controls those who are devotees. So they're two different things, and since Krishna's, you know, the cause of everything like that, then, you know, Krishna trumps. You know, he's the one that comes out on top. So that's the position, is that we have to see, is that we have to be very, very careful about using its Kali Yuga for our own advantage. Saying it's Kali Yuga so that we're more careful about our practice, about our, you know, situations, about our preaching, to see that we're, you know, cautious of the age, know the difficulties, know what we're working with. That's intelligent. Means one of the first points of Niti is know your enemy. Mm-hmm. The better you know the enemy, the better your position. But it's, we know so that we can avoid the difficulty, not that you know so that you surrender. You know, we're not talking about all these different persons that mentions in the, you know, the, I think it's in the earlier chapter, that in 10th canto here, that Kamsa, you know, he spread his influence, so even people who were against him then became his supporter. So we're not talking about that know your enemy. We're talking about know your enemy so you know the weaknesses so you can do. So what's the weakness of Kali Yuga? Somebody who chants the holy name is not controlled by it. So therefore, if you don't want to be influenced by Kali Yuga, because it's not actually that great, right? Age of Coral, nothing works, you know, like this. So if that's your dream age, then hey. But if it's not, then simply by chanting the holy name, you're unaffected. And if you're still affected, then chant more. Does that make sense? So the reason that we can say, oh, but that was back Lord Chaitanya's time, it's not 500 years. It's that they were absorbed in the holy name. Therefore, it doesn't affect them. Because you see all around them, there were people that were totally affected by the age. Srivas Thakur, right? Narad Muni, you know, what's to complain about? Even the demons like him. Right? Hiranyakashipu will see him, talk with him, won't let him see his son, but he'll see him talk like this and that. You know, Kamsa, Narad Muni can walk into his palace and all this and that and talk, and he'll respect him. Right? But you see that the Smarta Brahmins, they're trying very hard to, you know, tarnish his reputation. And they set up all kinds, do all kinds of intrigues to do that. So that's the Kali Chelas. And then those who stick to it, those are the Lord Chaitanya's followers, the Rupanugas. So we follow what Rupa Goswami does. You know what I'm saying? We're saying, oh, it's so difficult now. You have governments, this and that, that allow this more freedom of religion. When Lord Chaitanya was there, they were tolerated, but if they got too much, they had a big festival, then there was a problem. You know what I'm saying? So they were under a more difficult situation than us. You know, Prabhupada was preaching at a time when people did not accept anything out of their own little box. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. It was more difficult then. People were not vegetarians. People had no idea of all these, you know, philosophies and this and that and New Agey stuff. New Age was practiced by a few people on the side, and they were considered weird socially, actually. Now it's an accepted thing. So it's even easier. And now we're always called the Yuga. We're saying, so sad. But it's actually so much easier. Because of the effect of the preaching of Krishna consciousness. These are things we do, we practice, then it goes. What's done here, then India follows, then the rest of the world. So the actual, we're thinking, respect, that Paris is the one that sets all the standards and all that, but actually it's Mayapur that sets all the standards. It depends on which circle, yes. But you see, the refinement that comes here, then that refinement comes in Paris, then everybody follows that. So, okay. See, there's a direct connection there. So it's okay. You understand? So that's the whole point is that you see, is like what Prabhupada would say, is when there's a flood in Mayapur, means now there's going to be a flood of Krishna consciousness in the world. And you see, things go happen after that. So the thing is it's in Krishna's control, not in Kali's control. Someone's hoarding gold, you know, breaking the four little principles, then yeah, he can hang out there. But if we're not talking about that, someone's hearing and chanting about Krishna, it's not his place to stay. He wasn't given that. So to say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, it's not for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be very, very careful to appreciate. Because otherwise, if we're so caught up in that, how are we going to appreciate what's here in 10th Canto? This affection between the Lord and his devotees based on all these natural interactions. Because these are the natural ways of interaction. The modern society, of course, although they talk about a natural lifestyle, they don't like anything that's natural. Right? You know, that how you're supposed to deal in relationships, they don't like that. It's supposed to be whatever I feel like at the moment I should be able to do. But how can that work? If at any point someone can change their perspective and what they're doing, and you know, I think you call it changing the goalposts. You know, you're going for one thing and then it changes. Who's going to take that person seriously in a relationship? Right? How can you? They're totally unsteady. And now we're talking about a philosophy that is the standard. So now, amongst those people with this, how many close friends do they have? How many people they can really rely on? I would have a tendency to say about zero, but maybe they have 1, 2, 3. But a good chance, no. I mean, it was said before, farther back, I think from the 1800s, someone gave the quote that if someone in their lifetime has one really good, solid, close friend, they should consider themselves lucky. Because a lot of people don't. So that's over 100 years ago. Back when these kind of things were more valued. You had empires, you had nobility, you had a sense of that kind of dignity. Well, nowadays, dignity is not a quality people look for in someone. Before it was, dignified gentleman. He stood by what he. Because before it was, you had some understanding. You went with it. If it meant you went down with it, you didn't mind because you went down in a dignified way. Now it's everything just changes. Just what's the move? Because it's about simply survival. So it's slightly different. So the point is here, there are standards of how parents deal with children, and how they play, different things like this, how, all these rasas, how they interact with each other. There are standards. Why? Because this is how Krishna likes it. Because the point is if Krishna likes it and you're absorbed in it, it works. It's perfect. That's the whole thing. Because absorption in Krishna, that's the perfection. Not, this quality or that quality, that's the perfection. We're forgetting that qualities are just another thing to engage in the Lord's service. Knowledge and skills is the basic thing, but then with that there's an attitude. That attitude means all the qualities that go along with it. So those qualities are also tools to engage in the Lord's service. But being on the really gross platform for knowledge and skills is not seen, so being that that's pushed, then where does that make qualities? Makes it spiritual. You understand how the proportion works? So just that I'm up to the point of this, then that's like spiritual. But in the Vedic system, no, this is also just more of the tools. It may be subtler, but it's the tools. Like you have pots and pans and you have a recipe. So that's the whole thing. It's not spiritual. When it's engaged in the Lord's service, only then it becomes spiritual. We're taking it being good, being nice, that's spiritual. No. It's to be engaged in the purpose of spiritual. But until it's engaged, it's not spiritual. Does that make sense? So these illusions that the karmis are so nice and this and that. It's kind of like what newspaper you've been reading, what magazine, what news report, what have you been reading, Does that make sense? So that's the whole point is that since when? You may say they'll use these as tools for their materialism. The smart people know how to use them for that. And they may not even know they're materialistic. But the point is they're tools to be used. But it's only, like you see, humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, respecting others, not looking for respect. These are qualities. This is the etiquette. And what's the point? Someone who can do that then can chant the holy name. Why? Because these things please Krishna. So Krishna sets the standard on what relationship, what activities go on? What are the flavors? What are the tastes? Right? That's set by Him. Then, if we see them in relationship to the Lord, then they're perfect. Then we taste that rasa. But if we try to put our modern spin on it, then neither can we appreciate anyone else's relationship in the material world. We can't appreciate Krishna's relationship with the devotees in the spiritual world. So then what's the whole point of that mentality? Other than, everything's useless, and so therefore I'm just left with me and my mind, and that's it. And if that's comforting, hey. But don't try to sell it to others. So, does that make sense? Okay. So it's we have to understand that these pastimes are beyond that. And because of that, that's why all these devotees have such a taste. Because otherwise they'll say, no, but how can they have this taste? This is going on. That's 100% mundane. It doesn't have anything spiritual. It doesn't have anything of any glory to it. Right? Using the intelligence in that way is not an advantage. It's not a glory. Yes?
Vrindavan pastimes is difficult to understand because apparently Vrijvasis, they don't distinguish between the pastimes for Rupa Lakshana. For them it's all towards Krishna. For them it's all the same.
Yes.
But for us, we're bewildered, and then we can't appreciate. We basically will look at the kasta qualities of devotee and Krishna,
right,
and then establish our relationship on that basis.
Yes.
And then we don't see the Swarupa Lakshana.
Yes, yes.
Which should be prominent, but
yes,
isn't.
Yes.
So then Vrindavan pastime, as a continuation from yesterday's
right
discussion, like Ramachandra, it's very prominent that the majesty.
Yes, yes.
But then Krishna, they just play with the key.
Yes, yes. So that's why then ourselves as sadhakas, then we're following the path of maryada, or that of following the rules and regulations. But it's the advantage is that therefore you don't do something that's not favorable. The whole idea of following the rules and regulations is to do that which is favorable. Because if we don't do that which is favorable, then how are we going to progress? And we don't have that natural, spontaneous love that they do in the spiritual world. Therefore, we need the rules and regulations. But what are these rules and regulations based on? They're simply the, you could say, the formalization of the activities that they do in the spiritual world. It's not that it's something else. We're used to, let's say you go to school, but real world something else. Most people will tell you what have they learned in 20 years in school, you don't really use. It means those who are being honest, of course. You know. But, you know, those who are still illusioned by it, they'll still say that, no, this is great, because they're either they are an illusion themselves, so that inspires them, or they want to keep others in illusion so they can make profit from it. Right? So, but the actual point is in the Vedic system is what you learn is what is being used. So the activities that we do in sadhana bhakti, it's not that those activities will be left when we come to the perfectional platform. Just they will be performed on the spontaneous platform rather than the formalized mechanical platform. So since we only see mechanics, like you say, we'll see the Swarupa Lakshana, see the Tathasta Lakshanas. But we're trying to get it where we see Swarupa Lakshana. Because that's the only thing that actually matters. Means if, in performance of our devotional service, that it is a matter of Swarupa, whether we understand it or not, chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, worshipping the deities, living in the Dham, hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, these are transcendental activities. Now, whether we fully understand them or not, then one of the things we can do is we can see the symptoms of the Tathasta Lakshana. So in that way, it is a symptom of advancement. But to take it that that's the goal, that's a mistake. So that's what we've been discussing the last few days, is that we should not make the mistake of taking those tathastas as actually the goal. No, the Swarupa Lakshana is the goal. That complete surrender, that faith in Krishna, that affection for Krishna, that's the actual point. Then the tathasta lakshanas, those are used as means for that service. Like that. So that's the whole thing. Because otherwise, if that's not understood, then we'll be bewildered as to how, like, all these Tathasta Lakshanas, basically you'll see that Yudhishthira Maharaj basically manifests them all. But someone like Bhima, not necessarily. But he's not seen as any less of a devotee the Pandavas are seen as all devotees. So as devotional, they're all seen on the same platform, along with Draupadi and Kunti. Right? But as far as the social etiquette, Yudhishthira is the senior, and then they have the mother, and then, you know, goes down Bhima, then Arjuna, like this. So the point is he's it's whether they're manifest or not, they have the qualities, because they already have that pure love for Krishna. So, yes, as a symptom, it's there. But to take it as a goal, then that we have to be careful of. In the beginning, we might take it as goals, but we'll still see there's problems. Because trying to get one of those tathasta lakshanas on its own, by our own mental speculative process, right, is going to be difficult. As it's said, for the jnanis, life is difficult, because they're trying to get qualities by either doing nothing or doing something that they think is going to get them their particular benefit. But by chanting the holy name, by taking process in the devotional process, these qualities come naturally on their own. So even if we want these, the only way is through that Suhut Lakshana. So that's the point, that's the key, that surrender to Krishna, that surrender to the holy name, surrender to the process given by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami and handed down through the Acharyas given to us by the founder Acharya, then this is how it's going to work. If you follow that, all the other things will come. And if we don't follow, then they come a little less. Okay. So in other words, if we're going to use the path of karma, then we have to have the piety for it. You want to follow the path of jnana, you have to have the piety for it. But to follow the path of bhakti, you don't need any material piety, because the soul by nature, that's their position. So this whole idea is that through material endeavors, with material good qualities, with, you know, modern material things, you don't have the karma, you can't do it. Right? Even we say, oh, there's so many, self-help systems. But I think there's only around 50. So that means out of 7 billion people, there's 50 that kind of have an understanding of how things work. Right? And most of them, they're watching people who are successful. So the guys who are successful, they're just born with the karma, they're doing it. So they have the karma to do it. The guys that write the books have the karma to observe it and appreciate it. You know, and, you know, apply it in their own life. Like that. But the people who are buying the books and going to the seminars, they're the ones that don't have the karma. Otherwise, they'd already be doing it, because the other ones are already born with it. So that's the whole thing, is that if you want to work on the mundane, then what you're born with is what you got. That's it. You don't have more. You know? You know, and they show the thing, yes, you know, the guy, you know, he was born in the ghetto and all that, and at the age of 5, then, you know, he had a friend, you know, they play white friend, and so then he tried to interact like that, and then it was pointed out that, you know, he wanted to go, hey, can I go over to his house and all that, and it was pointed out, no, you can't. It's, why not? We're friends. No, you're black, he's white. You can't. And it's like, what? And then this guy grows up to, you know, be some big successful, you know, whatever it is, this, that, blah. Like that. And how many of those stories are there? Right? So, point is he had those qualities, but there was some impurity of the mind that he was born in a family that didn't have those, necessarily those qualities. So he was able to go up. Otherwise, you can go. There's millions of other people in the same situations that you come back 20 years, 50 years later, they're still sitting there. It doesn't change. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is on the material platform, whatever you have by your previous karma, that's all you have. So if you want to work by the material, then Krishna will go, okay, go ahead. No, I can do this. Okay, do it. But if you surrender to Him and take part there, therefore from the power of the holy name, all good qualities develop in that devotee. So they have qualities beyond what they would have. But they're qualities that are developed in Krishna consciousness, so you can apply them in Krishna consciousness. You can't guarantee, you can apply them outside Krishna consciousness. Hence, somebody who's very developed, very sophisticated and everything like that in Krishna consciousness, from that endeavor, if they step outside of Krishna consciousness, they just become another face in the crowd, nothing special at all. But then if they come back into Krishna consciousness, then it's all happening. You know, it's like through the looking glass. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way it is. We have to understand this is Krishna's world, Krishna's in control. So devotional service will develop all those qualities. But we have to have that faith that that Sarup Lakshana is what our goal, and all the Tathasta Lakshanas will develop. But if we think the Tathasta are the goal, and by this, then we'll make devotional service happen, it's a good chance it won't happen. Because where in the Shastras does it say that that's the process? It never does. So then where are you going to get the process to use? You won't get. So therefore you have to turn to the Karmis and the modern kind of things, because they actually have faith that maybe this will work. No, it doesn't. And then the problem is we'll take on their mood, and so we'll just make it even worse. So that's why then association, we have to be very careful. So this is, how can we take advantage of this advanced association? Rather than how can we take advantage of, you know, taking on the karmi mentality? Because we think, oh, they're successful, they got the attitude, but they also have the karma to go with the attitude. Right? We can have the attitude, and everyone just notices you have an attitude. You know? That's all, you know, so it's kind of like, okay, you know.
Regarding the maryada, so
regarding the maryada,
the maryada is a function of the dasya rasa more prominently. Therefore, amongst the Vaikuntha, Dwarka, and the Braja, is it that maryada is more displayed in fullness in the Vaikuntha world?
Is maryada displayed more fullness in the material world? I mean, Vaikuntha. You could say basically, because it's all about the rules, but where you're getting that taste from that maryada, because there's more majesty, but within the majesty, that aspect of maryada, so you have that aspect of sweetness and that, but it's based on following the rules rather than on the spontaneous. So you'd say Ayodhya is the place where maryada is the most, but anybody who's following, practicing the things, and that has that aspect of maryada. You follow the different rules and regulations, that's maryada. Because the point is it has a taste. So sadhana bhakti is maryada. But the point is that it's for the purpose of developing that natural spontaneous love for Krishna.
Because many devotees have been describing that Braj doesn't have maryada.
The Braj doesn't have maryada. It doesn't have the flavor. It has the flavor of madhurya. Mm-hmm. So that sweetness that's there. But it's not that our practice is not that we're not following the rules. Because what are the rules? As we said, it's the rules of what the practice that they do in Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. We're not given the practices they do in Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. We're given the practices they do in Vrindavan, so it has that flavor. But Vaikuntha expands from Vrindavan, so following the practice in the form of rules, you know, of Vrindavan in Vaikuntha works for them. Mm-hmm. Because it's an expansion, but the thing is it takes on the flavor of majesty. Mm-hmm. Well, for us, we may be following sadhana bhakti, we may be worshipping in that way, but it's not that flavor. So that's why flavor is very important. Because sometimes we may take from other sampradayas some of their practices, but if we take the flavor along with it, it won't match.
Because many devotees are very much alien, you know, by the Sri Vaishnavas, how they worship the Madhavas.
They're awed by their worship simply because they don't know our worship. Because the point is in reality, in fact, when it comes to the rituals and that we do, the Shris are awed by what we do, in reality. At the installation of the Bangalore temple, right? It was a big installation. And they would, you know, they had money. In those days, that would have been, that's quite a long time ago. They were spending, I think, a lakh a day on construction, or 5 lakhs a day on construction. So you can understand how much money they were making. Because it was consistent. They just went through. They never stopped. Once they started, it just went till it was finished. So very quick. Right? And So then all the devotees there were all graduates from IIT, right? And most of them from the Bombay one, right? So, smart guys, qualified. So they had two aspects of the program. One is because it's right, you know, in the heart of South India, so therefore they invited all the Shris to do their thing. But they had us come and do our thing. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. So, and who's there? These are all, you know, main pujaris and that from Melkote, from Sri Rangam, from all these other major temples. Because it's big, they're not going to have just a small time or so. You know, and if you're spending 5 lakhs a day on this, you don't mind. Their yagshala, the Sri's yagshala cost 5 lakhs. Right? Like that. Ours didn't, but theirs did. And so, at one point, they're there and seeing everything, and so then they ask, so, you guys, what is your worship? What is your system? Because they have theirs. And so then one of the vice president that was in charge of overseeing the installation and all that, then he gave them the Gautamiya Tantra. Right, which is the main work that we get so much of our stuff from. All our prayers and that. So, he went through the book, or they went through the book, they handed back the book, you know, offered pranams and says, this is over our head. Because what we have to understand is, the Shri's worship is extremely simple. But they repeat it again and again and again and again. Therefore, it looks complicated. But their worship is actually very, very simple. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. There's a lot of repetition. While we don't repeat, but our rituals are so much more complicated. Right? They'll install something. Ihavaha iatishta. You're done. That's the Shri's. We ehavaya tishti sani dehi sani rudasva samako baba sakali kuru, chant the mantras and then do the nyasas, you know, like this, and then that. It's just like, to them, that just blows their mind. Because I've watched, I remember Subramanyam, right? Subramanyam is a temple of the eight mats, Pejwar. It's a subsidiary of Pejwar Mat. Because there's 22 mats, but the eight main, the other ones all fall under those, like that. I was there somehow or another for Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And he, the Acharya, is doing the puja and that, because there's just him and a couple other Brahmacharis, and, you know, that was it. And I sat there, an hour and a half, doing that, the special bathing and pujing for Nrisimha Dev. And basically just did the same things over and over and over and over again. But what he did was actually very simple. You understand? So we're used to that they're so much more elaborate. No, they're not. We're as elaborate and more. But ours, because of the subtlety of it, it's not easy to catch. The Shri's is more easy because it just has that point of majesty. Well, ours is chosen because it fits in more with sweetness. You said Mother Jashoda and the Gopis, they're doing all these nyasas and karanyas, anganyas, because we don't generally do them, because then within that, then you have all you chanting the mantras on your fingers, you know, like that, and then putting them on the body. So we don't do that. Okay. You understand? Because that's something for Vaikuntha. So other than just taking out a few things, then we follow all those pancharatric elements. Right? The Shri's, Hari Bhakti Vilas is mentioning Ahir Bhudnyaya, you know, Hayashirsha and all these kind of pancharatras. They have temples that do that from historically, from the time of Ramanuja. But any new temple they install now, it's always Padma because it's so much simpler. Does that make sense? So does that make sense? So, and they've been doing it for 1,000 years, so therefore then they work out what they do. But if you see, it's very much up to the individual pujari how it looks. One pujari sets up and they have this little festival in a mandap, and it's fabulous. how beautiful it is and how refined. And others set it up, even though that they may be technically better. It's not very nice at all. So it still is about the individual and how much they see the aesthetics and doing it, or how much they're just by the rules. Because the rules make it very boring. It's only the individual that has that flair, then they can make it look very beautiful. And that's not very many. It's just like chanting. How many tapes are there of Vedic chanting by pandits in the south? Right? You can count them on one hand. Why? Because those are the only ones that can chant and it sounds nice. Literally. I'm not joking. There's a few of them, you know, Sri Ranga, a few of them in Tirupati, a few of them in Melkote. You know, the smartest have a couple. That's it. Everybody else, it sounds out of key. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that if we understand what we're doing and all that, then it has everything that they have, but it has the sweetness, flavor that works with Braj. So we can do all the things that they do, but it has a different flavor. It's just a matter of how much we can do. It's just like we were doing the Mahayagya in the morning on Wednesdays. It's starting, I think, last year or maybe the year before. We adjusted it so the whole thing would finish in an hour. Because we found anybody who came, the guests and that, they can't handle more than that. We do programs outside, we won't do more than 45 minutes. It's a big program. Generally we do 20 minutes, half an hour. But we cut it back because they can't handle. So what you see one week and what you see the next week, that used to be what we do every week. Because people can't handle it, so they're saying about the Sri, but they can't handle that anyway. You know, it just sounds like, oh, they do everything so pukka, but that's because they're doing the tradition. When we do the tradition, then in what way is it any different or less? It's just that nobody does. So we look at them and say, oh, they're great, but if we do our own tradition, then why do we have to look at them? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's Lord Chaitanya's mission. So Lord Chaitanya gave all these other four acharyas what aspect of the philosophy of Chinta Beda Beda Tattva they'll present. You know, and how like that. And so then doing that, and then they establish their sampradaya. And they're successful. And then when Lord Chaitanya comes, he takes back two things from each of the sampradaya and puts it together. So that means it's, you know, that's like saying, oh, Vasudev, you know, is there, but, you know, Sankarshan has, you know, how you say, Sankarshan has, you know, Ajnana and Bala, you know, and Prajumna has, how you say, Aishwarya and Virya, and Aniruddha has Tejas and Shakti, you know, wow, you know, like that. But what they're missing is Vasudev has all six of those. You know what I'm saying? But if you only have those two, oh, you can identify it. So, because it's only Vishishta Dwait, you can identify it. Vishuddha Dwait, you can identify it. Like that. You understand? Dwait, you can see it. But Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, that's then in a realm beyond. So it's actually, you have to apply yourself very nicely, you know, and by the Lord's grace. So that's the point, is when you're given something higher, it does have that subtlety that the others don't have. Does that make sense? Yeah.
In this example that the Shri is doing the installation of this Bangalore temple, was it because of the mood of majesty that they spent this, they made this Yajnashala for 5 lakhs?
What does that got to do with the conversation? Yeah, so in other words, stick to the topic. That was just an example. My point is they do very big stuff. We can do the same stuff simply, but just it's more complex. So the point is the Braj Leelas are more complex than the Vaikuntha Leelas, but seemingly less opulent. Though actually they're more opulent. You know, does that make sense?
Kalyana Guna is born even though.
Tejas and Shakti.
You were invited there, and the Shri's, the people were invited there for this, the installations thing.
Yeah.
What was gained by inviting the Shri's when you were there?
I know it means that it's like what Prabhupada did in Vrindavan. He invited the locals, because then people who are local then think, okay, everything's very proper. But because we're there, then we know it's proper. So they did all their things, and we did all our things. So they focused more on the kalashas and this and that, you know, on the top of the temple. We didn't go up there. So any of the chakra installation flags, the pot, all these things, they did all that. And, you know, we did all the things that directly dealt with the deity. And so they did all their things, and then after the Abhishek and everything that we had done, then they came and they sprinkled, you know, their water and all that from the yajnas. So that's their prana pratishtha. They don't chant mantras or anything. That's it. They just take the water, sprinkle it on the deity, Hari Bala. While we sit there and chant mantras and do all kinds of stuff. So it's just more. You know, they just requested, we've done all this, don't, you know, get rid of that. So they wanted it done at a point that it wouldn't be, they've done it and then we remove it and then start again. So therefore it had to be after. You know, we've done the Sri Sri Samhara and Yasas and all those kind of things. Right? You know, so they wanted to go, you know, we're doing all this work, you know. So the whole point is that then the locals will think it's there. But the devotees, then, you know, they're happy because we're going to carry on and do everything like that.
Right. It was a one-day program, installation program.
No, it was 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Same thing was ISKCON Tirupati. It was a 3-day program, and therefore all the ISKCON devotees were very much impressed, saying that because the Shri's had come to the installation, it was very elaborate. So that all the same, it's not within a Bhavishyati kind of an event in which took place.
So the point is that these are the brahminical activities. You do them, they're nice, but we have the same thing in our own flavor. So the point is that they do it, then we'll say, oh, this is very nice. We do it, oh, this, you know, this is not Treta Yuga, it's not the age of yajnas and all this karma kanda. So that's the whole point, is it's just, you know, we have a tendency to appreciate, you know, what they call it, others, not ourselves. You know, so that's the point. It's not understood, like, what we've been given.
Like yesterday you mentioned that, so Mataji asked that, Mataji said that Mahaprabhu left Bengal and went south. And you made the point that, yeah, because in your own land you're not appreciated, so you're in your own organization, you need to get somebody from.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's just, that's naturally there. But the whole point is one has to be careful because the flavor is different. You want to go to Vaikuntha, hey, there's a whole sampradaya there. You know, like that. It means if you want to get anywhere but Braj, anywhere from Vaikuntha up to lower Goloka, then the four sampradayas are quite qualified, quite competent to take you there. But if you want Braj, then this is the place. Like that. The others, they won't take you there. Like that. You know, because it's, they're giving you a part of a Chintaveda Veda Tattva. And if the part works so good, then how will the complete, the whole work?
Yeah. And this is somewhere in 2005, I went to hear Rangam, the only time. And there was this very, very elaborate worship going on. And after some time, then the head priest, he came out and led our Harinam. And that sweetness there, they started with Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and then Hare Krishna.
Yeah, because that's how it's mentioned in the Veda.
It was just that sweetness, like when we go out and it has must have such an influence on whole India.
Yes, it does. And that head priest, he very much appreciates his time. Because you have to remember, is that head priest's, you know, forefather is, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
We told in one of the classes from Radha Maharaj to Katha. So Namal Var, he has written, like after so many years, after Mahaprabhu's movement, so the devotees will come over here in 5,000 meters.
Yeah.
And we chant the holy names.
Yes. Yeah. Means the scholars in the line know, have and they appreciate what's going on. Priests may or may not, but the scholars, they do. You know, it's like that in any line. Scholars are always in a different category. Because they know philosophy. Right? They have the culture and the philosophy. So it's a bit more balanced. While priests, if they have philosophy, it's good, it's balanced. But if not, they may have just the sentiment. Because they have the practice, but not the philosophy. So anybody with the philosophy, then they know what's going on. They know it's happening.
I went to Melkote with Atul in the beginning of the year, and then in the noon arati or whatever, they were chanting. I don't know which mantra, but Atul was able to, you know, keep up without missing a beat. And after that, they were very appreciative.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it possible with a young Westerner?
Yeah, no, that's we have another devotee there, Sati Pran.
Yeah, we met him.
Yeah, so he would go there and chant the mantras, and they would go, you know, you chant so nicely, where did you learn? When he mentioned the miracle here, they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they respect him because he can do and knows what they know. Yeah, so that's a few of these places, they're sharp, they catch these things. So that's the whole point, is that we're taking it that, you know, we become bewildered that, oh, they're so much better. But in actuality, they respect what we have. So if we just apply ourselves to what we have, then naturally, with time, it will become very nice. Is that makes sense? You know, just because Krishna is there. It's just like dressing deities. You don't see any sampradaya, anybody dress deities the way we do. You know, and this style was, you know, there since the 70s, 80s. Like that. So it's not like it's a new thing. So it's just we have to follow what's there. And if we continue, then it just gets better and better. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So like that. Okay, so are we good on the issues? Yes. Okay. So page 53. Lord Sri Krishna replied, "My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." Right? So then it's the thing, you know. Well, if you think that they're, you know, so it's just all play, it's just all the aspect of rasa. No, they're all lying, even though he did eat dirt, right? And then, you know, if you think, then you can look in my mouth, because when you surrender like that, then there may be a chance that, oh, okay, no, it's okay, but whatever. So she looks. But he wants her to look, so it's part of the pastime. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of maternal affection," right? That's the whole purpose. You take these extremes, it's all about the balance between the extremes. So the whole point is extremity can be used as long as the other one is used along with it. And they balance nicely. And they're not used too much. If you take one extremity too far, then even you take the other one, it doesn't match. Does that make sense? Because then, you know, it has to balance it. Like, I remember once, So, the whole idea is that Krishna perfectly balances it. The devotees perfectly balance it. How much they're complaining about Krishna, you know, and all that is, then how much they're talking about how when he smiles and all that, they can't do anything. You understand? But if it's just complaining and just leaving it at that, then, you know, it just has that rasa. But when it goes back and forth, it oscillates. That's where the taste is. That's why these seeming negative things, they're the impetus for the taste in the positive. And the positive are the taste in the negative. Because if it's only one, it gets boring. Right? Someone who's always grumpy is boring. Someone who's always happy, always, you know, then, you know, there's a limit. You know, so someone who can deal on both sides, right? You know, that's appreciated. As described in the Shastra, Tarana Bhayan Mit Yoktir Vatsalya Rasa Po Shika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. It brings out the ecstasy in there, because it's only being done for that. Right? Why is it being done in the material world? It's being done, you know, to get some material benefit or to protect oneself. So it doesn't actually have, it's not about the relationship, but the form of it still will be there. We have to remember is that the living entity wants to take advantage of Krishna's energies. The energies still work the same way. Whether they're in the spiritual world or the material world, they work the same way. They may be of inferior quality. You know, just like you have superior quality cars and inferior quality cars, right? You have your car, you close the door, you have to close it again, and then sometimes you have to lift, you know, you open it, lift it a little bit, then it opens. And you have those cars that you go to close it, and then on its own, it's just like, you know, you just sealed something. You know, it's perfectly airtight, you know, the sound it makes. Right? But they're both cars, and they're both a car door, and they work in the same way. Right? They open out so you can get out. They don't open in. You know, it's not like, you know, how you say, Anglo-Saxon toilets, you know. You know, it's impossible. You get in there and then you want to close the door and you got to stand on the toilet to close the door. Right? Well, the superior, you know, continental European toilet doors open out. So you open out and then you have this big spacious place where you can just walk in and then close the door. Right? So here in the material world, you still have gradations. So, but it's not that the principle is the same. So children will always act the same. That's how you know they're children. Right? That's how you know. And so when the age and these activities match, then, you know, that's childhood. When the guy's older and he does this, then it's a bit annoying. But, you know, hey, that's married life, you know? So, you know. So the whole idea is that... Right? So... The whole idea is that it's not going to be different. But we see is when Krishna does it, it's only to increase rasa. Right? But when they do it, when it's done in the material world, it's self-centered. It's about yourself. And those who are a little better at it then know how to, you know, use the rasa still for their own purpose. You know, they may lie, they may this, and when they see it's really not going well, then they pull out the big, cute smile and... You know, all that kind of thing, or the crying, and, you know. And sometimes, you know, a few times you go for it, but after a while, then kind of, you know, this is not going to work. Right? Because you know the motive is different. But in the spiritual world, it's only for rasa. So there's no need to, you know, I'm not buying that one. Right? Because it's about rasa. So that's why it can go on eternally and be perfect. Well, here it gets old.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because
here it's not for us, or it makes? Here it's for ourselves. While there, he's doing it to please the gopis. And the gopis are doing all these things to be absorbed in Krishna, interact with Krishna. So it's about the interaction between them.
And here, if we take the motherly love here, which is the least adulterated, can we say that it can go on eternally? In a sense of
it means it goes on eternally, but you change bodies for it to go on. But so no, it won't go on eternally. It'll get because it has that underlying aspect. But the position itself is eternal, because all these things, whatever's in the material world, all these the principles of it are eternal, but the manifestation is temporary. So the primary creation, those principles are always the same in every universe. That's made clear in that pastime of Narad Muni, because he was Narad Muni in the last universe. And then by the arrangement of Brahma, then he became that son of the maidservant. Wasn't it? No. Yeah, no, he became that demigod, the Gandharva, then the son of the maidservant, and then in that lifetime, the universe ended. So then when he came back this lifetime, it's the same. Because we see in the description of his past life, all the things he describes when he wandered around, you know, when he grew up as the son of the maidservant, were all the same. Prabhupada makes that point. He said it's the same creation every time. No change. Every Kali Yuga, they're all the same. So that means 1,000 times in the day of Brahma, there's Kali Yuga. And we think, oh, it's new, it's different. No, it's always the same. You know, just for flavor change, instead of, like you say, instead of the Beatles, they'll be the cockroaches or something, you know. But they'll be the same thing. The same combination of modes will make that kind of music, and people will go nuts for it. It's not going to change. So that's the whole thing, is it's always the same thing. Because you have to remember, when you, in a lifetime that you go to hell, you know, you go down to hell, then you come up through the animal species, then you come back to the same position you were in. So unless it's the same, right, you know, unless Colonel Sanders is there, then how are you going to be involved in the sinful activities you were involved in before that sent you to hell in the first place? Right, so then again back to Colonel Sanders, then again back to hell, and then after 1,000 times of that, then maybe you go, well, maybe I'm not going to go there. You know, so then it starts to become positive. But otherwise, it's the same thing. You know, maybe next time he'll be a general. Or, you know, does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it's always the same thing. The modes, there's slight adjustment, but it's always the same thing. Does that make sense? You know, so it doesn't change. You know, it's like you have the big formal ball and everything like that, and all the men and women are just worried if someone's going to notice them, someone's going to dance with them, you know, and this and that. And if something does strike up, you know, it's, you know, can they go somewhere else, you know, go out for a walk or this or that, you know. And then in the more contemporary one, it'll be a disco and this and that. And then when they find somebody, then, you know, yeah, you know, you want to get out of here, you know. So it's the same thing. It's just a lower class, higher class. So they're all going on. So that's the whole point. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Right? So in that way, it doesn't get old, but because we change bodies, so therefore we start over again. New parents. So now, you know, great. You know, like that. You know. But that principle is there. But they're all based on how they'll move, how they'll walk, and all that will be the same as Krishna, how they'll talk. But the point is Krishna will do it perfectly because it's for pleasing. And the living entity, according to his karma, and that it'll be the better quality or lesser quality. You know? It'll be more pleasing, less pleasing, this kind of thing. But it will still always be material. It'll never be spiritual. Therefore, if you take that and now see Krishna in connection with it, now it becomes perfect. So why are those aspects attractive when the child does those things? Because when Krishna does them, that's why they're attractive. Right? So at all points you can become. It's not that the child becomes Krishna. We're not talking, you know, Hinduism here. We're talking, you know, that it reminds you of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Then we're able to... So there's all these things are... so nicely able to be engaged in Krishna's service because that's what Krishna does. So all those things can remind you of Krishna. Right? Krishna goes to work in the morning. So they can remind you of Krishna. Krishna comes home in the evening. How he deals. He comes back from a journey. How he deals. So all these things can remind you of, because that's the way things are supposed to be done. The difference is in the spiritual world, they'll do all those things in connection with Krishna. And here we do them for our own benefit. Right? So this whole idea is that as Kali Yuga works differently. No, it's still exactly the same. Just the quality is less. Right? The kid is cute, but not as cute. You know what I'm saying? In other words, all kids are cute, but the ones that are on the postcards are cuter. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole idea. And Krishna is the cutest. What's that?
When you say that Maya in the material world, she covers, okay? But now when you see in the spiritual world, we have Yoga Maya, which is acting. And therefore, even though the same pastime is being repeated over and over again, because it is Yogamaya that covers the devotee, that is the reason why they experience the freshness in the rasa.
I almost caught it. I don't know. That's the problem. One thing is in trying. It's the South Indian tradition. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Then you can open your mouth and make more sound. You know what I'm saying? Could you talk like this with your mouth like this closed and you don't open it and everything like that. Just how much. And so it's very hard to hear. You have to open the mouth and put some pressure on the stomach and then you get to. You know, we're not expecting, you know, Greek theater amount of loudness, you know, but at least enough that, you know, because I can't hear, no one else can hear.
Maharaj, like,
or you have to do it slowly and then I try to repeat it. One or the other, to see if we've got it right.
We have Maya,
okay. No, but the point is you have to then always be this loud. But then you'll start off and then go quiet again.
So we have Maya in the material world which covers.
Okay.
Now we have Yoga Maya which functions in the spiritual world.
Yes.
Therefore, whenever there is an interaction between devotees and Krishna,
right.
The devotees experience the ever freshness in the rasa.
Yes.
Because Yoga Maya covers them. Because of which they experience. Is it correct understanding?
Because Yoga Maya covers them, do they experience? Means Yoga Maya is involved, but the point is Yoga Maya is involved in that the covering is how much covering is required to appreciate just Krishna as a, what aspect of Krishna as a person. Mm-hmm. Because even in Vaikuntha she has to cover, because if Arjuna is seeing, you know, a more uncovered version of Krishna, you know, in his majesty, mm-hmm. he can't function. So if that volume of majesty was shown in Vaikuntha, they wouldn't be able to function either. So there has to be some covering where they can function within majesty and render their service and feel, I can render my service. Because they're jivas. God's unlimited. They're limited. Mm-hmm. So if you bring it out too much, so that's why Yoga Maya always has to be there. Right? But the point is Krishna as a person is the original position. All these others are just part of his nature. So, yes, you can say like that because of that. So then in this way, then this aspect of Yoga Maya is also known as Leela. You know what I'm saying? So when you, does that make sense? So you have the aspect of the taste, you have the aspect of the arrangements, you know, the mechanics, the knowledge, the efforts, the results, these are all, you know, that shilk be controlling. But Krishna's pleasure gained from that, that will be Hladini. That Radharani does herself. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all the knowledge, the arrangements, situations, the attitudes, the perspectives, the situations, the particular individuals there, the particular endeavors with what particular mechanics they use, and therefore what particular results are produced, that's all what she deals with. The experience that's dealt with there, that's dealt with by Icha Shakti, that's dealt by Radharani. You understand? She deals with that. Because she's Swarup Shakti, but just as Krishna is everything, but he just takes the mood of Braja Krishna, to enjoy. Therefore, he takes just the Icha aspect, and then Balaram takes everything else. So in the same way, Surup Radharani, she is the Surup. She is the main feature. And then Yoga Maya takes care of everything else, because she's Surup Shakti. You understand? So it's just a matter of which side you're taking, aspect or flavor of the Surup Shakti. So that aspect, then you have, as we said, the Samvit, the Samvit and Sandini, or the Kriya and Jnana, right? But then, that then has its shadow, which is the material world. So then the knowledge, mechanics, activities, results, experiences gained in the material world, that's all controlled by Mahamaya. But it's the same things, just in an inferior quality. And the amount of energy put into it is very small. You know, it's like, you know, you have a stadium with light in it, or you have a firefly, you know, so because the firefly is a standard here, we'll go, wow, that's a bright firefly, you know. I haven't seen one of those in a while, you know, like that. You know. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.